Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending May 27th, and a little bit of extra because this week I only got three stories and they're pretty straightforward. I can get through these real quick. So I want to do a kind of a look at something I found on one of the mailing lists that I'm involved with. And I wanted to try to do a thorough or fairly thorough breakdown of this particular message. So to start with the news, there's a wild conspiracy theory on Hitler's death, and it's finally been debunked. According to a number of news sites, a forensic pathologist, Mark Behnke, did an analysis on what is believed to be the remains of Adolf Hitler found in the Soviet Union, and finally being able to be looked at outside of the country, Russia, and it's been determined that these are the remains of Adolf Hitler. Granted, it probably won't kill the Finding Hitler shows and the belief that Hitler somehow made it to South America, Antarctica, or the far side of the moon. Based on all the available evidence, Hitler's, in part his vegetarianism and partially because of his really poor oral hygiene, Hitler's dental records are very distinct, and based on that documentation and the bridge work and what was left over, was able to determine these were the remains of Adolf Hitler. So that is pretty much that story. Then we've got the massacre conspiracy theorist is under federal custody. If you remember, I was talking about Robert Ussery. He goes by the name Sidethorn. He has been harassing various shooting victims, claiming that this was all false flag and all that kind of stuff. And he actually got arrested while he was confronting the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs on March 5th. Oddly enough, after being arrested, he was found with a gun at the pastor's, at the time of his arrest, which actually raised federal charges on illegal gun possession, apparently, since he is a parolee at the time of his arrest. He was not supposed to have a gun with him, and now he may face 10 years in prison for gun possession. And our final story, the Alex Jones lawsuits. Part of a recent filing by a handful, six plaintiffs have now, for Sandy Hook, has started suing Alex Jones, along with a handful of others. Just a quick rundown before I get started here. Alex Jones has been quite popular with the lawyers, as he's had 15 lawsuits since the beginning of the year, starting with the Pizzagate, James Alphonsus, and the Chobani libel suit, which has been settled. So we're done, you know, those kind of go off the list, but we've got lawsuits from Brennan Gilmore for Charlottesville, Marcel Fontaine for Parkland, Neil Hessling, Leonard Posner, and Veronica De La Rosa for Sandy Hook. He's got two EEOC complaints from two ex-employees, Rob Jacobson and Ashley Beckford, and a copyright infringement from Matt Furick. He's the creator of Pepe the Frog. Now, six more have added theirs to the list. I just got the last names here. Lafferty, Garbathini, Barden, Hockley, Hensel, and Richmond. Soto, who is, again, for Sandy Hook, who's also suing Wolfgang Habling, Corey Scantana, who run the Sandy Hook Justice.com website, and Ted Anderson, who is the owner and operator of Genesis Communications, which is the syndicator that carries Alex Jones. So currently there's 13 lawsuits sitting out there trying to get their hands on Alex Jones. I find the Ted Anderson one, that may be one that might get thrown out because it's, I don't think Anderson's only connection to Jones is that he provides the service to the services to broadcast his show on a general network and satellite network. So I don't know, but Anderson is not the most upstanding citizen. He actually operated Midas Resources, which was a gold buy and sell operation that had been operating without a license, and also has links to Jones's the natural products that he sells on his show. So I guess Jones is going to be pretty busy. I had a plenty of other stuff on Jones, but it didn't really link to any type of conspiracy. It's just Jones being Jones and doing his ranting and raving about why people don't like Donald Trump and why the globalists are trying to take over. So that's pretty much the news I have for this show. So seeing I have a few minutes to take on a much more in-depth topic, I came across an email on one of my news feeds. I'm on a number of lists, and a guy posted it's basically a typical of all what those who are trying to promote some sort of pseudoscience. They throw a whole bunch of information into one email. A lot of times they're loaded down with links to YouTube videos and various websites. And I thought I'd take a tackle at this, partially because it has all the proper elements of a crank email. It's actually kind of short for one of these emails. It's kind of, doesn't have as many links as you would think. And so I wanted to go through the list and kind of take down each item one by one. And for you guys who may know me on the list, I'm trying to keep the names out of it so I don't embarrass or do something for guys that are super cool. But this had to do with free energy. It's a email talking about how free energy is being suppressed by the government and so on. So I wanted to make sure I have a kind of a definition of what is going on as far as the free energy mm-hmm. conspiracy and what is the reality about free energy, because free energy is an actual term that's used mostly within the chemical processes that, put simply, and I'm trying to do this as close to layman's as possible. Basically, everything has energy within it that is at a zero state or a kind of at a point where it's neither being used, being created, or destroyed. You actually can't do that, but it's at a neutral point. And if you take one chemical, mix it with another chemical, and you get a chemical reaction, now you're releasing energy. It could be more than likely this energy is in form of heat or the energy to perform the reaction. So the term free energy is just the energy that is sitting there in the system waiting to be used. Of course, using that term to talk about free energy, like creating it out of nothing, where the idea, most of the stuff points to Nikola Tesla and some of the work he did trying to transmit electricity. Of course, he's also these zero-point weapons and all sorts of stuff that he was allegedly working on. Most of this is a misrepresentation of Tesla's work. Tesla was just exploring the basics of electricity and kind of running up against certain problems, such as the laws of thermodynamics and such. So there's that aspect, this free energy. Then there's the free energy from perpetual motion machines. Again, this idea that a machine can run continuously somehow without any energy input, and you can use that to do useful work. Again, there's a problem with this. Again, you're fighting the various laws of thermodynamics. And oddly enough, no one's ever been able to produce a perpetual motion machine. Some may seem like it, but some amount of energy has to be put into the system, which kind of defeats the purpose of perpetual motion, perpetual energy. So going to the email, I'm going to go step by step here. First line was, our government has, due to national security, suppressed over 550 patents. I'm assuming this is in relation to free energy. So there's a problem with this right off the bat. The patent office does not issue patents on free energy or perpetual motion machines because, in effect, it's not possible. So more than likely, they were rejected. And the thing is that they don't suppress patents. They legally cannot suppress a patent. Now I found claims about scientists who had been working as a contractor for a government agency who comes up with an invention claiming perpetual energy, perpetual motion, whatever their claim is, and being denied the ability to get the patent, or when they patent it, it's somehow suppressed. Either these people are lying, or they're misrepresenting what they're doing, because technically a patent is a publicly accessible document of your invention or what you are patenting. It gives you some protection, meaning that by sharing it to the public and having it being able to be looked at and examined, maybe even duplicated, whatever, you have exclusive rights to selling that product, or at least having ownership of that product and being entitled to some payment. This is part of the intellectual property laws that we have in the United States, and most of the countries have similar laws. So if you issue a patent, if you're an individual and you issued a patent, the world can see what is in your patent. Now, that doesn't apply to trade secrets. Trade secrets is actually a patent that you don't get the government patent for, or you don't get any type of, you don't provide any documentation, you don't have to share anything. And these trade secrets are actually to protect trade secrets. Coca-Cola's formula, they keep it in a vault, no one's supposed to know what it is, so no one can copy the Coca-Cola brand. This is a trade secret. It's technically a patent. This is what they use to make their product. The thing is, by keeping it secret, no one should be able to use it because it's not public knowledge. A patent is public knowledge. And the trade secret, of course, you don't have any protections if that trade secret gets out. If the owner intentionally gives out the formula, then all bets are off. But as long as you keep that secret, if you work in an industry like I work in, I'm under a number of secrecy and non-disclosure agreements. More than likely, if you're a contractor, you've had to sign somewhere at some point a non-disclosure agreement to work on a client project or something along that lines. So, of course, that's where the enforcement comes in. If you're the one who leaks the information, yes, you're going to be liable for releasing that information. That's why sometimes I'm a little bit hesitant to talk about some things I do, because I am under a number of secrecy agreements and non-disclosure agreements, because I'm working with technologies owned by someone else. So I can't go into too many details on what I do, but that is the way you protect these secrets within a government agency. That is probably what is going on. This was not a patentable or would be patented, but it's kept as a trade secret within the government. So basically this statement is, I'm going to say 99% false, because yes, they will suppress some information, but they're not suppressing the patents. You can't suppress a patent. Anyone who tells you they can suppress a patent is lying to you. So the next line is, many ex-politicians, military, and government engineers are coming forward and telling the truth about free energy, aliens, and the real people who control our puppet government. Okay, so if this is supposed to be a document about free energy, where does aliens and the real people that control our puppet government comes into this document? That's the first thing that should pop into your mind. Well, as far as the free energy portion, there's a lot of people who will happily tell you and will swear that they are working on free energy projects. But again, they will not tell you that they're utter failures or they just don't work or there's some problem with this, because if someone came up with a source of energy that is infinite, that can power vast amount of our needs, it'll make a lot of people rich. I'll actually go into that a little bit deeper, because there's a question in this email later. So now this thing about the aliens and the people who control our puppet government, this sounds an awful lot. Of course, there's at this point in the, if you're reading this, what the aliens have to do with this, what the government has to do with this, other than the fact that they might be suppressing information. Of course, the government isn't, but then again, they may be, you know, they link this suppression of technology to suppression of the alien landings or whatever, the alien encounters on this planet. So it's kind of trying to bolster the argument using other methods, other ideas that, well, the government doesn't just suppress free energy. They're suppressing the aliens and the reptilian governments and the, you know, the globalist agenda and the, you know, whatever their favorite boogeyman is. So now, to kind of reinforce that, the third question is, some of the information was released by Edward Snowden through WikiLeaks, for which he is hiding in Russia. Well, if we stick with the basic premise, this is about free energy. Snowden made no mention whatsoever about free energy. So this is a false statement right off the bat. This is an outright lie to try to, again, that Snowden, by releasing this information, that basically all Snowden released was how and who had been taking and what information the NSA has been gathering on American people. It has nothing to do with aliens. It has nothing to do with secret governments. It has nothing to do with free energy. So this is basically a out and out lie. And I don't know how to even argue this. And if you happen to know where Snowden actually says that they're suppressing free energy, feel free to send it to feedback@mikebowler.com. I'm more than willing to look at this. But at this point, after going through the WikiLeaks, through all the Snowden documents, no mention of free energy. Of course, number four, now there's a few YouTube videos where you can actually watch these devices work. Some are BS, but some are genuine. Yes, there's plenty of YouTube videos. This is where much of this garbage comes from. People believing that there are perpetual motion machines and these free energy and Tesla's death rays and so on will put out a video and make the claim that this is all suppressed information. No, it isn't. If it was suppressed information, how do you know it? And of course, some are BS. Yes, I say all of it's BS, but some are genuine. No, it's just that they were able to hide a lot of the BS part. I saw this one, which was really compelling at first, but then I started noticing that underneath the table, the guy looked like his foot was kind of doing like it was working a pedal that was keeping the thing moving. So anything about free energy on YouTube and any website that seems to promote free energy are pretty much BS. No one has yet to produce a free energy machine. So now the question becomes, who benefits by suppressing this knowledge? Well, nobody benefits from suppressing knowledge. That if this was real, this would be a very important discoveries. And nobody benefits by suppressing it, because if there is a perpetual motion machine or some type of free energy machine, that person can start producing that machine without anything legally to stop him from doing that. If these machines actually do work and they applied for a patent, they don't even have to apply for a patent. But if they can produce, make this machine and produce this energy that they claim that they can do that all day long and not worry about anything, any type of legal action, any type of anything. Okay, number six, I really hate to make this point, but it is valid. If energy were to become free overnight, what kind of turmoil would happen with our government, economy, and social structure? And I think I can answer this pretty easy. Nothing. The government doesn't care who makes energy, where energy comes from, and it would actually encourage somebody to come up with a free energy. Now, granted, there's a lot of investment, and this is probably what's going to probably hurt the economy a little bit. But if the energy all of a sudden became free, companies that benefited from oil, gas, nuclear, whatever, and it all of a sudden became free, actually would not have as deep an effect as one would think. Again, kind of backing up here again, the government doesn't care where the energy comes from. And actually, the biggest concern is when oil and gas runs out, what's going to happen and what turmoil will happen if we haven't switched to some type of alternative, whether it's solar, wind, geothermal, whatever. But if there's a way to gain an energy source that is, again, perpetual, infinite, and can run everything, this would be the biggest boon to humanity since the invention of the printing press or any of the great discoveries. The economy will actually not, it shouldn't hurt the economy because this is capitalism at its finest. Now you've got a free source versus not free source. Of course, one, even though it may be free energy because just from a, if this was true and it produced it, again, the infinite fuel or infinite energy for an infinite amount of time. First of all, we still need petroleum, gas to make other products that you can't get maybe from whatever this free source may come from. And it would actually make it cheaper to produce the plastics, the various chemicals, the various things like thinners and jet fuels, and even just keeping our cars fueled, using that energy source, power the refinery to produce these other forms of energy. I think it would be a whole new industry that someone can tap into and produce energy, because even though it may be free and you still got to build the machines, you got to distribute the energy from those machines, that would create new infrastructure, new needs, new industries, new jobs to work in this free energy system. So the economy is going to do fine, probably even do better, and probably create more jobs than we can ever fill. And the social structure, heaven forbid should somebody who can't afford energy now can afford energy. You know, the poor folks that can barely keep their houses warm now can do it for a couple pennies instead of $200 or $300 a month. So I think there would be another boost to, you know, the lower tiers of human society, and having this free energy, having the ability to, one, get them jobs. Number two, now they can afford the products that we want to sell them. I think this would be a very good on all fronts. So we go to number seven, the education system is making our children dumber on purpose so as not to think for themselves and questions topics like this. And he has it in parentheses, and that's a whole nother can of worms. This seems to be a non sequitur, has no relation whatsoever with what is at stake here. Certainly it is a question about the education system. I don't think the education system's making us dumber. I think it's more from the religious side that has tried to make Americans dumber, because if you think, you reject God. That seems to be a common thread amongst any of the higher end evangelists, guys like Pat Roberts, who has stated, you know, that we're under attack by the intellectuals in this country and destroying faith. Well, good, I guess. I don't know where I even go with that. So now, of course, you've got the, you have to have the obligatory, people have been killed over this very topic. I'm assuming free energy again. And he has a list of Dr. James Black, Dr. Eugene Mullov, Michael Zabir, Ariel Louise, John Hutchinson, and many more. I don't know who "and many more" is, so I could not find anyone who was involved with free energy called "and any more." So this is basically being lazy and don't want to list all these people that have been killed. So who has been killed over this subject? Well, let's go down the list. Dr. James Black. Unfortunately, I can't find a Dr. James Black who is involved with free energy. I find James Black a pathologist and a pediatrician, but I'm not finding one who does anything with free energy. So, okay, this I cannot say, and I don't think anyone can say that this person was killed over this topic. So let's go to Dr. Eugene Mullov, who was killed on May 14th in Norwich, Connecticut, while cleaning a recently vacated rental property owned by his parents, the home he grew up in. The nature of Mullov's work led to some conspiracy theories regarding the homicide, but police suspect robbery as the motive. In 2005, two local men were arrested in connection with the killing. The case proceeded slowly, and the charges against the two men were finally dismissed. Then on February 11, 2009, state of Connecticut announced the award, leading to the arrest and conviction of persons responsible for the murder. The police made two arrests in connection to the murder, and that more arrests were expected. On May 22nd, state prosecutors said they were charging a third person in connection with the killing. Court testimony indicated Mullov may have been killed by an evicted tenant who was angry about belongings being disposed of during the clean-out, or the clear-out. And eventually, Moselle Brown was convicted of Mullov's murder on October 2014, and on January 6, 2015, was sentenced to 58 years in prison. Schaefer's girlfriend, Candace Foster, testified against Brown and Schaefer and pleaded guilty charge of hindering prosecution and tampering with evidence. So he wasn't, Mullov was not killed over free energy, but it was just a robbery that went bad, possibly a disgruntled ex-tenant confronting Mullov. So we got Michael Zabir. Now, unfortunately, when I find this person, he wasn't killed over free energy, but may have been killed over his knowledge of 9/11. Now, this particular kid, this is a guy, he's apparently a follower of Dr. Judy Wood. Judy Wood believes that the World Trade Center was destroyed by a directed energy weapon or a nuclear bomb set off under the building. So trying to find out if he was actually murdered, I can't find any evidence that anyone thinks he was murdered. Apparently he was, basically I can't find any evidence that this guy was killed. The evidence seems to point to armed robbery. And of course, because he was heavily involved with the 9/11 truth movement, they think that it may have been part of a government hit on somebody who knew too much. What's funny about this, someone I've been following, Daryl Bradford Smith, has accused Professor Jim Fetzer, a founder of ST911 Org, and Clemson engineer Professor Judy Wood of complicity in MZ murder. Since there's no evidence to back the charge up, it raises questions whether it was done to divert attention away from someone else, but to protect whom, another professor, someone else. Daryl Bradford Smith is a anti-Semite. He believes that Israel was the responsible party in destroying the World Trade Center on 9/11. But, of course, apparently the only evidence we have is that he may have been part of a robbery that gone bad and was shot. No evidence that he was anything, and really, all the evidence seems to, if there was a conspiracy, or at least it had nothing to do with his free energy work, but his work on 9/11 truth, which, of course, again, is all a bunch of bullshit type stuff. So I'm going to leave it at that. Ariel Louise died, apparently, it's possible she had died from heat exhaustion, as she lived in a trailer somewhere in Minnesota. And her publicist, I've dealt with Ariel Louise several years on my radio show, in her freelance book, Promotions of Guests. We talked several times about many things. After she did not answer her phone Monday night or Tuesday all day, I decided to call the Burnsville, Minnesota police to have them look in on her. The weather has been very hot, and she lived in a metal mobile home without air conditioning and a shut-in. The last few conversations Friday and Saturday prior, she was complaining about the terrible heat. They checked in on her Thursday night, informed me Wednesday morning when I called. She was found dead in her home. As of this email, the medical examiner has her body, but assume it was heat. So again, she was not murdered, but apparently because of the situation, whatever she lived in, had died of heat exhaustion. So let's look at John Hutchinson. This is the last of the list before, and many more. But so when I started looking for Mr. Hutchinson, and I found that he's still alive. Or at least there's no evidence that he was been killed. He seems to be still alive and still operates a website. And so, of this list, Black is alive. Mullov died of a robbery. Zubir may be a robbery. Ariel Louise, from heat exhaustion. Hutchinson's alive. Again, the question, this idea that they're being killed for their belief or their knowledge of free energy does not, there's no supporting evidence that this has anything to do. Even Hutchinson has no connection to free energy other than somehow some type of chemical reactions he was working with. So we go to number 9. Why do you think the fact of aliens is suppressed? Well, this is, again, not part of the general talk. This has nothing really to do with free energy, or does it? Because if it were made public, the next question from people would be, well, if they got there, it must be free energy. I have a rough time trying to make that leap. How aliens travel through space, if they really do, there doesn't seem to be any evidence that we are actually being visited by aliens, because the sheer number of sightings, but yet no real official, nothing really has come out. It's always been kind of secretive. Of course, people are afraid to come forward nowadays, being called crazy. But usually there is really no evidence that aliens are visiting, other than some blurry photo showing lights zipping around, which could very well be any number of things. And unfortunately, within the hardcore UFO community, they look at this as clinching proof that aliens have visiting the Earth. The idea of what kind of energy they're using, again, they're making an assumption. Yeah, unless we find out that there is more to the laws of thermodynamics or some way to overcome the problems of thermodynamics, until that happens, there is no way we can get to this free energy nirvana, so to speak. So are the aliens being suppressed? I don't see any evidence. I see a lot of evidence of people seeing what they believe to be aliens. When someone follows up on it, it ends up being something terrestrial, whether it be airplanes taking off a certain way, meteors, swamp gas, you know, all the classic stuff. It could very well be something not alien related. And usually about 90-95% of the sightings can be explained away by any number of these explanations. So, and then with the few that may still be out there, that still doesn't mean aliens were involved. It's just not enough information has come together to make a proper assessment of what happened. So, number 10 is, I wonder who will be the one person to admittedly protest this with compelling arguments to make us believe it's not possible that someone working for the government or big industry. I'm going to read that again. I wonder who will be the one person to admittedly protest this with compelling arguments to make us believe it's not possible that someone working for the government or big industry. And I never really could figure out what this sentence. This seems to be like a, I don't know if it's a word salad situation. I don't know. I just don't get what's going on here. But anybody with high school or maybe even some college physics under their belt will understand that free energy is a myth at this time. I kind of use that because who knows what happens 100 years from now. Maybe we do find there seems to be some evidence in the quantum field that there are some free energy opportunities that can be explored. But since we're dealing with the quantum field or quantum area of physics, it hasn't been proven or disproven. And it's supposed to be a form of matter. I see this thing called time crystals. I don't know if it's real or not, because it seems to be out of place in some of the articles I've come across, mostly on Wikipedia, like somebody's trying to spam a bunch of pages with this. But again, we're dealing in a quantum area, not in the real world area. So any type of, any of this is not going to have any solid effect for a long time until we do start breaking down and breaking into the quantum field and determining what's going on there, being able to, because we can't even test quantum theory yet. Or I should say we're trying to come up with ways to test the quantum area. And number 11, if I believe this to be true and really just an ordinary person, how many other people feel this way? And what will happen if true to those responsible for holding us back? Well, this is there's an assumption here that someone's holding us back. There is no evidence of anybody. First of all, there's no evidence that there is free energy. So how can you hold back something that doesn't exist? Now, there are people who, I guess, who wants to believe, this is basically from someone who wants to believe that there's such thing as free energy, perpetual motion machines, all this, Tesla death ray type stuff, and that it's being suppressed somewhere by the government. Again, it could be, they'll use whatever, the government, the reptiles, the army, whatever your favorite, group that you hate, they're intentionally suppressing this information, that the scientists are suppressing it because they can't understand it, so they treat it as an anomaly and doesn't count, or whatever the excuses. This is under the assumption that this is something real and it's being suppressed. Well, it's not real, so you can't suppress something that's not real. I mean, I'll make that argument all day long. How many other people feel the same way? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't really care who believes what. I find it quite interesting that people will buy into this free energy. Mostly, I think it could be just wishful thinking that somehow we're being forced to accept oil and gas as our energy basis, coal as our energy basis. Well, there's been occasions in human development over time where we have sought out ways to heat our homes and power our ovens and whatever. Firewood would heat our homes, perform numerous tasks, and then as new discoveries come along and various advancements, there was in England, a energy crisis in the 1800s where most of the forests had been cut down in England and there was no fuel to run the trains and run the boilers to make whiskey. I mean, that's actually what kind of pushed things along a little bit. So fortunately, someone figured out how to mine coal. One of the problems was pumping out the water inside some of these mines. So someone made a discovery to get the water out of the mines, or ability to better utilize the fuels. even the railroads who were heavily dependent on wood was coming up short, or there was the potential for a wood shortage to make rail ties and bridges. But because of petroleum advancements, the chemical creosote was realized that it could preserve wood. So now you can soak the wood in creosote, and this wood would last a lot longer than normal untreated wood. And of course, other technologies, various coatings and shellacs and oils and so on could preserve wood. And of course, with the advancements on coal production, England switched from a wood-burning energy source to a coal-burning energy source and found themselves moving forward in the Industrial Revolution. Eventually, the discovery of gasoline and kerosene and all these other various chemicals that could be derived from petroleum pushed our energy availability even further out. So the idea that new technologies are suppressed runs totally counter to the capitalist idea that as new ideas come along, it presents new opportunities for new industries to produce new goods or reduce the cost of existing goods or finding new uses for old goods and various adjustments that happen when some new technology comes online. And eventually everyone benefits from this. If free energy was real, we would have it and we'd be using it right now. There's nothing suppressing the building of, the development of free energy machines. The thing is, why it hasn't happened? Because it doesn't work. And I'm going to leave on that note because I can't think of anything else to say on the free energy thing. But I thought that was an interesting email and kind of, again, it fits a typical conspiracy type. They like to claim that this is... They like to claim that this is being suppressed, that these enlightened scientists, most of them probably have never even set foot in a science class or dropped out, and making claims that their ideas are being suppressed, hidden, whatever, claiming that they're being persecuted. Like, again, the Galileo syndrome, that poor Galileo thinking that the Earth revolved around the sun and instead of the sun revolving around the Earth, that's what he's persecuted over. Not really, but I've talked about that before. But these guys are, and gals, there's some women involved with this who believe that their ideas are being suppressed is totally false. And there's no reason why they can't build their machine and start producing energy for free. I think the reality is that I know that if they can do that, they would certainly do that. There's nothing preventing them from doing that. There's nothing legal that anyone could do about it. I mean, if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to send it to feedback@mikebowler.com. I'm more than happy to address that. And and that is pretty much the free energy story. So for announcements, I have none. This is a holiday weekend, so I'm kind of relaxing. Haven't done much except clean the house, so I'm just going to leave the show at that, on that note. So I'd like to thank you for listening. This has been episode 91, recorded on May 27th, 2018. I'd like to thank you for listening to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy. Good night, everybody.